Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now, with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/arts. Just go to Indeed.com/arts right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/arts. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
On the hunt for lost ROI? Chart a course and find hidden profit potential with Acuron Corn Herbicide. It's the only herbicide strong enough to bury competing weeds and help you unearth 5 to 15 more bushels per acre. How's that for hidden riches? Uncover the real value of Acuron at Acuron-Herbicide.com. Acuron is a restricted-use pesticide. Always read and follow label instructions.
Ash and JD, they're the host, talking real, they're not like most. Podcasting fun with a side of wit, get ready. Cause you won't want to quit. They bring the laughs, they bring the noise. Sharing stories of their crazy joys. From deep discussions to silly tales. The Real Talkin' Podcast never fails. Grab your headphones, get ready to groove. Ash and JD will make your mood improve. Banter that's witty and oh so sly. Their chemistry's electric, you can't deny.
How are we, everyone? He's Ash, I'm JD. This is the Real Talking Podcast, and welcome to this week's episode. Now, you'll have to bear with us a little bit. Again, in the UK, it is sweating again. But we're here to just entertain.
Entertain the people.
Yeah.
It is weird, isn't it, how it's like just hot for 2 days and it gets too hot. And then it's just, it's never that perfect. It's too hot to work in.
Oh, it's definitely been too hot
it's
for me.
It's just muggy.
I've been working essentially in an attic. It's like a converted barn sort of thing, and I'm upstairs doing his bathroom. There's no breeze, so even though the windows are open, and plus the window above me, it's one of the Velux windows, so even if there was a breeze, it's not coming above my head. It's no joy.
Also, you know, we say to people we're not a football podcast. Maybe we should start saying we're not a weather podcast as well, because we speak about the weather a lot.
it's just the UK thing, though, isn't it? But since we're not a football podcast, we do have to address it, because there has been about 5 messages regarding the Euros.
Right, how do you want to do this? Do you want to give your take on it first and get mine and then go to the messages, or go to the messages?
Well, if you've got an opinion on it, then we'll shout them out first.
Well, last week, obviously, I was optimistic, calling him the Messiah, the genius.
I think he was over...
You know what it was? For me, it was, once you're in the final, it doesn't matter. You're there. It's, no one remembers the run into the final. They just remember if you win it. So obviously, shit build up, shit tournament for England. And so I was optimistic that just the way the luck was going with the overhead kick, just the late goals, that I was going to pull through. And to be fair, when we did get the goal, I thought, fuck me, we're going to do it. And then, it just reverted, changed, got the goal and changed to a more defensive formation, obviously, because that makes sense. But, you know, you're on the front foot, they're under the cosh, they was under pressure, just attack them, don't change formation. If anything, go more attacking, because there's no point. The way the game went, after we scored, was just, you know, everyone was like bouncing off, fucking, you know, we scored, fucking, like, we're gonna, you know, for me, I was like, we're gonna win this now. then obviously it just changes those formations again, as it says, and just a more defensive, and I think really killed our impotence. Is that the right word? Do you know what I mean? I'm trying to use a really clever word there. But I'm trying to... I don't think
impotence is the word that you should be using, because that's...
No, but obviously, Right, ignore
it. Killed the momentum.
Yeah.
Ruined the rhythm. Yeah, I can't think of other words to use for the analogy you was trying to go for.
But you understand where I'm coming from. We was on the forward front. We scored. That was under the cash. You scored. Just keep going. You know, don't go more defensive. That's what I was. It just, as you just said, it just killed the rhythm. But yeah, I was optimistic. I thought, you know, we got to the final. Let's just see what happens.
Well, I'm glad that I wasn't optimistic going into the game.
Mm.
Now, I'd actually popped to the pub for an hour or so just before. And that was the highlight of the day, to be fair. Having a couple of pints in the pub. Got back home, watched it with my mates. And yeah, it was just terrible. I mean, because I don't like to talk during the football anyway. Unless you're talking about the game a little bit, then I don't want other conversations.
Mm.
So I was a little bit annoyed because my mate and the missus, they're talking, they're having conversations about life and fucking work and all that. And you know when you're having to like bite your lip not to say, well, you shut the fuck up. So I was a little bit on edge with that anyway. And then, yeah, as soon as from kickoff, really, I just saw the negativity, the negative tactics, the lack of tactics. And the goal was just coming. I knew it was going to come, obviously Spain's goal. And I was happy at that point then, because I thought, right, now we'll see the gear up. We'll see them go for it. But as soon as that equaliser went in, that was it. It was just, as you were saying, just straight back defensive again. It's like, no, you shouldn't be doing that. You've got to keep going.
You've got the momentum.
And especially when Spain did score the second goal, there was just not enough going forward still. Fair enough, yeah. He took Kane off, Watkins on around the 60-minute mark, trying to bring in more attacking style. But it still wasn't enough. He needed to just literally throw everything at him. And he was too cautious still. I felt like he was almost making subs for penalties again then as well, just hoping that we'd get a second goal to take it to the extra time and maybe to the penalties. But, yeah, it was never enough.
No, I was surprised when we did get the goal and he kind of went to like a, it's the way I was looking at like a 4-4-1-1. The way I was looking at the time with obviously Watkins, Palmer just behind him. He was a 4-4-1-1. And I thought, you know, it's perfect time to put Foden on there. And not Foden, it's perfect time to put Gordon on there. And just let him, he hasn't done anything called tournament. Mm. Just let him run at them. Just run.
Yeah. I mean, there's a few players that he could have bought on and done that. But he's just not allowing them to do it.
No.
So, thankfully, after the game, I mean, it did take a couple of days, but he's, I'm quite annoyed with the way the media have worded it, saying that he's resigned from the England managing role. But he was out of contract, so he hasn't resigned. His contract has come to an end, and so he's not going to sign an extension. It's laughable because he's hiring like agents because he's expecting he'll be able to get a Champions League club in the Premier League. So he thinks he'll be able to manage the likes of Man City, Liverpool, Arsenal, or Aston Villa because they're the only Champions League teams that we've got at the moment. And he's just got no chance. He's out-leagued by all of them. It really is a way with the fairies, thinking that he can get into any Premier League team, to be fair. I don't think he'd do well at Brighton, even though they prefer a manager to just coach the team, not be involved in recruitments or anything. But he just hasn't got it tactically. I really can't see a Premier League team wanting him. I mean, obviously Ipswich, McKenna's been revolutionary for him. He wouldn't be able to take over McKenna's role either. It's just, I think he's delusional. I think he's really is a proper space cadet. Now, there's talks that the FA are going to wait 12 months for Pep.
I've seen this.
Do you really think that Pep would leave Man City and take the England role?
You know what? I'm going to go and go, yes. And I'll tell you why. You think about it. How many friendlies do England have here? Eh? Without a competition. So,
well, we've got three international breaks before the end of the year.
Yeah, but it's just three or two games each time. Yeah, some are qualifiers, whatever. So
yeah,
it's not hard, is it? You can have your break and still be involved. All you have to do is just watch the videotapes. That's all you have to do, obviously.
Mm.
You know, so he could still live in Spain, could send the videotapes, you know, 2 weeks before the internationals, fly back to England, watch games in person, have a couple conversations, do the training. I can see it. And he doesn't need the money, mate, because you think about it, he's the highest paid manager in the world, some £20 million a season. So
yeah, but Southgate was on only £6 million or yeah, £6.5 million.
But
Pep's not going to downgrade to that.
But the workload, it's not day in, day out.
Yeah, but
it's not heavy. It's not, it's in terms of,
it's not, know, as demanding.
No, it's just, as you said, like from now to Christmas, three international breaks. So that's like six matches.
Maybe.
So he has preferred six matches from the summer to the winter. It's not hard for £6 million, mate.
It's not.
Do you know what I mean? And as it's, I said, not, he's not going to, I don't see where he goes now. He's done the Bundesliga. No one else can afford him in the Bundesliga. He's done Barcelona, they can't afford him. He ain't going to go to Real Madrid. Right. The Premier League, he's done Man City. I can't see him going anywhere. Maybe Arsenal in the future. That is it. I can't see him doing Man U, obviously. And then the Italian sides, I don't think they can afford him.
No, unless he takes a massive pay cut, he's not going to be able to go to Italy.
But he has said before that he wants to do a World Cup.
Yeah, I'd see him personally preferring to go to Spain and manage them.
Yeah,
but I couldn't see him doing England. But the main reason why I can't see him doing international coaching for a while is because he hasn't got an open checkbook to bring in whatever players he wants then.
I agree with that. And two things, though. Because he's Barcelona, like Catalonian, they have that thing with Spain. So I don't know if he would take the Spain job. And Spain's manager isn't going to get sacked now before the World Cup because won the Euros.
Yeah.
So in terms of the top 10 teams in the world, Argentina, they just won the Copa America. They ain't going to sack their manager again. Portugal, possibly. With Martinez, they didn't have a great one. Belgium, I think their generation is over. So I think England would be the best bet. He knows the players already. It's just, I would like that appointment. I would like the Jurgen Klopp one a bit more.
Well, since you've just mentioned Klopp, I'll give you more prediction. And
go on.
All the listeners, just make a note of this that you heard it here first. So, Ancelotti, Real Madrid's manager, he extended for another 12 months.
Yeah.
Obviously, Jurgen Klopp left Liverpool at the end of last season. I can see Ancelotti retiring stepping down as Real Madrid manager at the end of the next season. Jurgen Klopp will take it, and then Pep will go back to Barcelona.
You think?
And then it will be the Pep and Klopp show in La Liga again. Because I think Pep would do that just for the rivalry. Even though it wasn't a massive rivalry like what we used to have back in the day with Ferguson and Wenger and Mourinho and fucking everyone else that Fergie had it with. I think just wherever Klopp goes next, I can see Pep going to their rival team.
Right.
And I can just see Klopp taking over at Real Madrid.
See, I see Alonso going to Real Madrid. Because he signed, didn't he? Just signed a 12-month
extension. Yeah, he extended it by Leverkusen.
So I'm sure that was just... I'm sure that has like a clause in there.
Well, again, with Alonso, I'm still thinking that on slot, Liverpool... I mean, we're going to get on to James's email in a moment. But I think Arnslot might have a poor season or not a good enough season. And then if Alonso is available for the taking, Liverpool will get him at the end of next season. Or try and poach him during the season.
Or try to get Klopp back.
I don't think he will come back. He said it was too stressful, didn't it?
They all, you know, but money talks, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
Money does talk. Really does.
Be interesting to see what happens. Obviously, it's like a merry-go-round, isn't it? But it'd be interesting to see what they do with the England one. I mean, they took the... They've done the England manager with Sam Allardyce, Hodgson, Southgate. Fair enough. But I think if you can get Pep, you get Pep.
Well, the British media, being typical British, are saying that it needs to be an English man to be the next manager. But who's the best English manager at the moment, would you say?
But the women's team...
Help DEA keep our communities safe and healthy by participating in National Prescription Drug Take Back Day, Saturday, October 25th. Take action right in your own home by cleaning out your medicine cabinet of unneeded medications. Keep them safe, clean them out, take them back. Find a collection site near you at DEATakeBack.com. Do your part to lower overdose deaths and prevent prescription drug misuse before it starts. That's DEATakeBack.com.
Manager is, I'm sure, Swedish.
But they don't care about the women's team,
yeah,
do they?
But like, yeah, but I'm just, do you get what I'm saying? It doesn't have to be from that country, like Martinez.
Yeah, it's too much of an old-fashioned mindset.
Yeah.
And again, I think because, you know, the newspapers and the likes of TalkSport, Sky Sports, they're a dying thing these days, really. So I think they're trying to cling on to the older audience by saying this kind of thing that needs to be an Englishman.
Well, let me put it to you then, mate, because you said about...
Put it to me.
Pep. About him. He hasn't got millions to spend. Do you think Pep wins the Euros with that England team?
Yeah. Because it doesn't matter how much of an open checkbook that he has got with every team that he's ever been with. He's still a great coach.
Mm.
You know, he didn't buy Foden. De Bruyne, yeah, he was okay at Chelsea and then obviously left. And
yeah,
then
went to Wolfsburg, done really well in the Bundesliga.
Yeah, and then obviously Pep bought him from there. And then he still coached him to get better. He's not one that will turn a Scott McTominay into a Kevin De Bruyne, but he is able to bring the best out of players and he's got the tactics. You know, it's not always a pretty use of football to watch with Man City, but with the players available, with what Southgate just had, hands down, he would have been able to win it, definitely.
Yeah. No, I agree.
The bookies' favourite for the next England manager, as an English person, is Eddie Howe.
No, that doesn't excite you, does it? It doesn't make you think, ooh, we've got a chance.
Well,
even though he does play better football. But
Again, he's a better coach. He's got better tactics than Southgate. But as I say, there's not many English coaches that come to mind, let alone stand out to make you think, yes, we want that person. Yeah. You know, Lampard's one of the odds favourites as well. Well, failed at Chelsea, done well at Derby, but so did Rooney. What's Rooney doing now? Plymouth, is he?
Plymouth Argyle, yeah.
Yeah.
I do think with Lampard, though, I do think that running out of Chelsea, because he done okay at Everton to keep him up with not spending no money. But I do feel that Chelsea run has defined him as a shit coach now. I think if he didn't have, because I think he won two games, like 17 or something, but like his first stint of it, didn't he go there for a bit first?
So he was.
And he done really well and he brought Mason Mount, Abraham into the team. Remember when he had, and he'd done really well there, and obviously he left because obviously, what did he leave that first time? I can't remember.
He left because he got sacked.
The first time round. I thought he was like an interim the first time. Was that the second time?
No, the second time was
the interim.
Yeah, so the first time, we did well for like the first 3 months, whatever, and then it just went downhill. Lampard's too much the same as Southgate. He's an arm round, all pally pally, get him playing fucking polo in the swimming pool and that again. Which, I mean, it's a bit fucking.
Sometimes you need a bit of Neil Warnock, innit?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'll fucking die for you, lah.
Yeah, a bit of a Graham Souness. I played the game.
That's it. Someone to tell it as it is.
Fucking someone to kick it around.
Just someone to tell him, innit?
I mean, again, I'm not really that arsed who takes over as the next England manager until it happens and we see an improvement. I'm just not arsed. So I got roped into it with the last Euros and the World Cup, thinking that we was going to do great. Obviously, back-to-back Euro finals. You know, yeah, we did all right. I just knew at the start of this tournament that I'm not going to get roped in. And even at the final, even though he was in it, and you still have to be in it to win it, I just couldn't get the same enthusiasm as you did.
No, I just, for me, obviously, because as I said, we had a good running then. We had that easier side and we played terrible, but it doesn't matter, like, using the final, like, you just got to turn up for what, you know what I mean? You've turned up for the rest, but you've just got to fucking, this last game, just leave everything on there. And I don't think anyone did, actually.
But again, because if they're being told to
hold back, stay in position
or whatever, then you're trying to do what the manager says. But it's one of them where there should have been like, hang on, lads, between themselves, look, we know how to play the game. Let's just go for it ourselves.
I take you some of the messages are basically saying what we've just said, or
there was a few just along the same lines. Lee, who, no, I'll get on to Lee's in a minute. James, as always, he's sent two in again. He loves it.
Great listener. He loves it. We love him.
He was just telling
me before, like, you know, your favourite fan is messaging twice. You know, you can't wait to read his messages are.
2 weeks in a row. Yeah. Two emails in a row. Lovely.
The underlap, whatever it is.
The Undertake.
The Undertake, yeah.
Yeah.
Can't wait for it.
Yeah, coming in your ears, 2030. So his first email was saying, finally, the shit Euros is over. Bring on the Prem. Lee messaged along the same lines. I think it was, now that the Euros is over, how do you think the Prem's going to go? I will get on to that properly. Right. I will read it. There literally was just a few asking how we felt about it. And it's been 20 minutes, 18 minutes, because the first two was talking about the weather.
Yeah.
So 18 minutes of football, and it's not over yet.
And we're not a footballing podcast.
We're not about that football.
At all, then, we might, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, the stuff that I've got coming up, it is a fucking boomerang swing. We'll go on to Lee's one then.
Right.
So how are we feeling about the Premier League? How do we think the Premier League season coming up is going to be?
Right. But I said last season, or I can't remember if it was just as the season finished, Chelsea are going to win it. And I've got to stick by that now because I fucking said it. I can see Chelsea having a good season. I really can.
New manager bounce? Is that what you're feeling?
I just feel like, as you just said, Pochettino's more an arm around the shoulder. Don't worry, Bally, lads, have a day off. As where this game just seems a bit more, nah, lads, fucking have it.
Well, there definitely is a few Chelsea players that need a kick.
Oh, and I say this, but obviously you had that thing with Enzo, obviously doing that chant, and obviously it's fucked a few of his teammates off. So that'd be interesting now. But for me... Wait,
did you see the clip, did you?
Yeah, they're on the buzzer now. And they're just chanting that song.
For anyone that hasn't seen it, it's after the Copa America where Argentina won it. And the camera was mainly just focused on Enzo Fernandez. Now, I don't speak the native tongue, but there were subtitles and the slagging off the French players saying, mom's from Nigeria.
Your dad's from Cameroon. Dad's from Cameroon. Your passport is French or something like that.
Now, I get it, it's bad, but was it that racist? Because it's not like the same racist words.
You know what I find with Argentinians is that, like, with Brazil and Ecuador and other countries around that, you get like a mix of players, boy, black. You know, that's the South American. Like, do you know what I mean? There's a bit of like.
It is multicultural.
With Argentina, there's just, they're all white, mate.
Well, so not, I think that. Slight tint to the skin.
They're South American and that.
Yeah.
But do you know what I mean, though? Compared to Brazil, Ecuador, not Uruguay.
No, because, there was that thing with Cavani a couple of years ago. It was similar.
Yeah.
It wasn't a song that was sang, but.
Something that was said. It was just unnecessary. You've won, and he's singing about France in a different tournament.
Because that's the thing. Yeah. It was a different tournament. So there was no need for it.
Like, let's just let it go.
But, you know, they've won the Cup, the Copa America. They've had a few beers, obviously.
Yeah. Did you see Messi was quick enough to say, post, as soon as everyone was calling him racist, that he was back home, as to say he wasn't on the coach singing the song?
Did you see Cucurella? After Spain had beat England.
No, I turned the TV roll off, mate.
No. So, Lord, it's only from TikTok. I've seen the videos. So, at the after party, and then not the open bus tour, but, like...
The thing on the, like, town hall where they did a speech and everything, yeah.
So, he was just still lagging from, Lord, after the final whistle, singing Cucurella, he drinks Estrella, Harlan fucking in his pocket or whatever, lagging. But fair play to him. He's not the good singer. He's not the best of left backs either.
He wasn't even within Spain. They weren't feeding him as left back, but he had a decent tournament, didn't he?
Yeah. He's only been Chelsea's number one left back because Chilwell was injured most of the season. Sam's Luke Shaw, but. I mean, he's a decent lovely left back.
Well, the money they pay for him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, United wanted to get him on loan last season, but it was only because Chelsea wanted like $7 million as a loan fee that we didn't do it.
But I think Chelsea, good season. I'm gonna say Chelsea to finish Champions League, if not win it. But if not, I'm gonna go Arsenal to win it.
Well, there was statements this morning from whoever it is, though, I don't know if it was the Premier League or FA or something, regarding Man City's trial.
Right.
So they're still saying that November there's going to be the final hearing regarding the 115 charges, and it will be the final decision. So
it won't drag on after.
If they're saying November is when it's all going to properly get aired out, then that surely means that they're confident enough that some of them charges are going to stand.
Why don't I just do it before then, like before the season, like rather than fuck it up half, like not halfway through, but a couple of months in. Either way, I don't want Man City to win it, but it's got to get at that routine because it's getting a bit boring now. Like the Bundesliga, Ligue 1.
That wasn't even planned.
I feel like, you need to mix up, you need to change. I like when a different team wins it.
Well, yeah, we don't need Man City to win it five years in a row.
So that's why.
But I have seen that because of this charges hanging over Man City, it's deterring some players from wanting to join them. They've got that good of a squad. I mean, the second starting 11 could be better than most Premier League teams. So it's not like they really need to bring any players in. But I think come November, that should be a bit of a twist for them then. I'd like to see, I mean, not saying that I want them to get a like, point deduction and that, but I want to see them actually get punished for what's happened, whether it's a big, massive fine or something, you know, because it doesn't matter if they get like 20 points deducted, they'll still finish in the top four, Man City will. Chelsea, I can't see them getting into the top four.
Look at Cole Palmer, though. He's cold.
Yeah, but...
You know what I'm saying? But what I don't want to happen, though, is the Premier League to follow suit as Euros did, where the lesser teams just go ultra-defensive, and then I like when there's goals in there. I like when teams go for it, and hopefully this Premier League... Because last Premier League season, I don't think it wasn't great. I feel like there was better seasons.
Well, we still had the likes of Luton that were coming out with like a 6-1 win and this and that. We're always going
for it. I'm not being funny. Luton are a shit club.
Yeah.
They're a shit club. They don't belong in the Premier League. I know it's like they deserve to be there, but they're just a shit club. I mean, the logo is a hat. Like, it's a hat. Like, there's not... It's just... No, you're not going to get there again. No, don't worry about it. Like, I want like a competitive one. Like, they're just too far off it. There's too many, you know, you can get like two or three teams that are battling, but the rest just need to be competitive. But we'll see. Hopefully it's a good season, aren't we?
Yeah, I think it's going to be more in the mix with the top eight, essentially. You know, obviously Man United are doing bits at the moment. There's not much transfer activity between the rest of the top four clubs. I mean, that touches on to James's second email, which was 70 mil for Yoro, which is the young 18-year-old that they've just purchased from Lille.
It was 52 million.
So, yeah, it's 52 million. And then look, there's add-ons that can potentially take it up to 70 million euros.
Isn't it mad how they've signed a player for 52 million and sold Mason Greenwood for 27 plus add-ons, when you would say Mason Greenwood's a better player?
You would, but there's still the connotations about, obviously, all the allegations, what didn't stick, never went to court or anything. Like,
he's not, at the end of the day, he didn't go to court, so he's innocent to proven guilty, I suppose. But
apparently there was a couple of Premier League clubs that wanted him, but it's about himself as well at the end of the day. He could have gone to another Premier League club, but you know what this country is like.
It'll
just be constant abuse all season. And plus, it'd be a shame.
He won't be bad living in the south of France, was it?
He'll be all right.
Make millions. But I will say, though, obviously it's good for Man U's books because he came through the academy.
And then... Again, they've done all right with the... So there'll be a 50% salon fee as well.
Okay.
So, but it's on profit. So this is where like contracts get a bit, just down to the dotting the I's and crossing the T's and that. So it's on the profit. So if they're selling for 60 million, then we get 50% of their profit. Yeah. So it'd be an extra 15 million on top, basically. Right. But still, it's still an extra bonus for... a player that we haven't had for 2.5 years, essentially, in our starting lineup. I mean, you go back onto earlier episodes, people know my thoughts and views about the player. You know, generational talent was always spouted when he first broke through into the starting lineup. But yeah, you know, fair play to him. He's moving on to France and he's potentially going to have a great career still, just not in the Premier League. I still think Man City are going to win the league next season.
I hope not. Fucking not.
So, I think it'll be Man City. Arsenal will still be thereabouts. I don't think they'll get as close. I don't think it'll be literally like a point or two in between it again. But I think they'll be second. I think United, they're going to get back into the top four. Third or fourth, I can't say.
So, you think Villa will drop out next season?
I think with the added games of the Champions League, so even though they had the Europa, was it the Europa or Europa Conference? Even though they had European games last season anyway, I think just with the Champions League, again, I think they'll do well in it, to be fair. I think they'll get out of the group stage, even though they've not been announced the games yet, or if they have, I haven't seen them. But I can see him getting into the knockout stages anyway, because Emery's just a fucking great coach, isn't he?
Yeah, he's good at like that kind of them competitions.
Well, that's it. He's good in Europe. So I think with the added games, the added pressure, I think they'll struggle a little bit in the Premier League, to be fair. But still in the mixer, around like fourth or fifth. Chelsea, I think they'll probably be like fifth, sixth, maybe seventh. Tottenham.
For me, Tottenham's going to fall off this season.
Yeah, I think Ange started to show his true colours.
I say that, but they've signed a lot of young people, actually. Young footballers, haven't they?
Yeah.
So, sometimes what you need a bit of young...
Well, I think it's I was going to gloss over that until you started to laugh. But, I think Ange wants to try and wean out the... he wants to wean out the negativity. So, like when they wanted Man City to beat Arsenal just so Arsenal wouldn't win the Premier League and that. I think he wants to try and get that attitude out of the club. But that isn't going to happen because Spurs are Spurs. So, yeah, I think they'll be lucky to finish in a European spot this season. Brighton need to make a bit of a comeback, but I can't see that. I mean, they've not... really done much managerial wise.
They've overachieved for years, and they're that club.
Yeah. So I think it's really going to be a battle of the top six, and who can get back into it.
But what about stay there? What about Liverpool?
Yeah, I think they'll be fourth, fifth.
No Champions League. You don't think they're going to be battling for the Prem then?
I don't think they'll be battling for the Prem. No, I really do think it's going to be. Hard. I think the first couple of months, like what we said about Lampard with Chelsea, the first couple of months would be a bit of a new manager bounce, and then like reality will hit. We still don't know how many players are going to go. It's not looking like the owners are going to want to spend much money either. So if he's going to stick with the same players that he's got, are they going to be able to adapt to his style of playing, his philosophy? You know, because it's going to be a big upturn from the Klopp ways. So I think they're going to struggle. I think, as I say, the first month, 2 months, maybe three, it'll be all right. But come the winter, they'll start dipping off, I reckon.
Right.
So, yeah. Similar to when they had the injuries, when Van Dijk was out for most of the season, I think they'll have that dip, maybe have a bit of a late stride again, probably come back up. No higher than fourth. I can't see Liverpool finishing. Well, This is just all predictions. Well,
it's hard to say before we get the fully transfers, the ins and outs.
Well, that ain't, I think there's four games played before the end of the transfer window.
The Euros and everything, it's always hard anyway. You don't want to sign someone before they get injured as such. No, we should probably come back to this probably when all the signings have been done.
I think we will do. We won't spend half an hour talking about football at the start of the Premier League season.
I think maybe next week we must probably not speak about football, mate.
Well, it's just...
Maybe just a bit more about the weather instead.
Yeah, it's just pre-season games going on at the moment, which, to be fair, I'm looking forward to United and Rangers tomorrow.
Oh, is that how they go?
Yeah. Got beat 1-0 the other day against Rosenberg. They're in the middle of their season, so they're all fully fit. Team already knows each other. Yeah. And it was, you know, just all the young lads. So, to be fair, they should have beat us probably about 5-6-0. But the keeper had a fucking worlder, you know, when it's just one of them days and the keeper's saving everything. So, and they literally scored. I think it was the first or second minute of added time at the end.
I fell.
So, it was a shame for the lads, but good for Rosenberg. So, Rangers tomorrow, which 5 o'clock kickoff, and in the afternoon, not in the morning. So
no, I was just thinking, like, is that like any like America or something? Or
no,
is that,
in Edinburgh.
Because I know they go. Do they still go to the US for their preseason?
So it's all over the place. Each preseason, this one is in America. I think I have got the lists of games on my phone, but I'm just. I don't want to keep talking about football, so I'm not going to get it all. Yeah, but we are playing, I think it's like New York, I don't know, maybe a game in Texas or something like that. But yeah, there's a couple of games over in America. Then it's back. Obviously, Community Shield against Man City the week before the Prem starts. Then United kick the Premier League off on the Friday night as well.
Who they got on the Friday, do you know?
It's Fulham, first game of the season. Oh,
great opening, mate. Fucking hell.
Well, it should be for United, yeah.
Oh, come on, you look, to get people back in, you need like a fucking big game on that Friday night.
Look, I don't set the
fucking game. It's fucking London teams, aren't it?
Well, that's all it is. Well, yeah, so with James moaning about Yeni Lauro, Liverpool wanted him. Real Madrid were the main contenders to sign him.
Managed to pay the most money for him.
Well, I think
they must give him a, you know, he's got to make, if you know, why should I come to Man U? He's a couple of extra pounds in your pocket, son.
Well, as far as I know, he's getting 150 grand a week. So 18 years old, 150
yeah,
grand.
Yeah, doing
a week.
He?
And then there was no. So Real Madrid would have just let him sit on the bench and then
yeah.
be part playing for the next couple of years until it was
yeah,
the right time.
But, terrible that is, isn't it?
Yeah, United's defence needs a big fucking awakening. So he'll be pretty much in the starting lineup straight away.
What? Are they still going after the lit?
Yeah, so now? Again,
so what's
it's agreed with the player. It's just.
So they're still going to go. But then who was on the bench then? Because obviously you've got Martinez.
There's a lot of games though, isn't there? Well, Martinez will be starting as long as he's fit. And so, yeah, it'd just be rotational. You know, there's.
I think I'd rather sit on the bench around Madrid then, mate.
What, you don't want to sit in rainy, cold Manchester?
No, no.
For 150 grand a week?
I want to live in Madrid.
So in you'd Spain, rather yeah. sit on the bench in Madrid on 60 grand a week?
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe that's from my perspective of like, obviously.
I'd rather have the extra fucking 90 grand a week or.
Do it for 60 grand a year, mate. You know, Ash, run up. I'll fucking run my bollocks off as well, mate.
Oh, guys, good job you don't need to use them much these days. right. Now, we are all done with the football chat.
Yeah.
Thank
you for staying with us, people who don't enjoy football and has bared with us through the whole Euro tournament.
I don't think we spoke about it too much, though, have we, really?
I mean, you know.
It's been topical, though.
Yeah. We're trending.
For a non-football podcast, we've covered it quite well and not too much. But we're on to the feature anyway. There is other stuff, but we have spoken about the football a little bit too long. So we're going to get the feature, the one and only,
get the feature and
cracked
stuff.
Out.
Oh, technical error.
On a,
what boy is going on?
Fucking going on?
You know, when you lie.
Pressed the wrong thing, didn't they? That's fucking
these things
wrong.
Happen, you know.
It's because he should have been fucking pressing that.
You know, I was expecting just to sing it, to be honest, mate. There.
Because I saw the fucking bar moving. I was like, what the fuck's going on? So I was so confused. It's been a hot day. It's, it really is hot. And that's why I can't wait to get home and have some beverages. So our first one is from Lauren. And she says, people still shorthand texting. Just stop. So this was a thing when we was young and mobile phones first come out. So Ali G is the best example.
Oh, okay.
The batteries. I don't really have people message like that these days, to be fair. I do have like my dad, for example. I don't know if it's age, I don't know, maybe dyslexic or just really doesn't read as he writes a text message. So a lot of the time I'll have to ring him up and say, what the fuck are you trying to say on that? Because it's just, it's not hard. Like, just look at what you're writing. Especially when so much is predicted text as well.
Yeah.
Like, just start to type a letter. Oh yeah, that's what I want to say. Press that fucking word. But no, he really is bad. I don't know, fucking too many people to fucking say really do that. And it's so annoying. But no, I don't really have that issue of, look, back in the day when it was, can you, the letter U, come, C-U-M, to the number, and got mine. Or
why was that? Was that because any more than so many characters classes two messages or something?
When it was all fucking the old Nokia 3210. And
mate, they're bringing that phone back out, you know, and it's like no TikTok, literally as it is.
It's already out.
Yeah, I was actually
The 32 and 3310s have been out for ages. I think it was still basically the same, but it was just like a modern screen.
Still got Snake on it.
It did have Snake. I don't know if you could go on like fucking any of the apps or anything.
No, this one I seen online was basically no TikTok, no Instagram. It's just a phone.
Does it have a camera?
No, as far as I'm aware, it didn't, but I might be wrong on that one.
If I could have that with a camera, I'd be fucking getting it all day long. Because all I want is the camera on the phone so I can take pictures of my jobs, which I don't do all the time because I fucking forget. You know what I'm like. I don't do it anyway, but I don't want to be able to have the choice to go on Facebook or fucking WhatsApp or Instagram while I'm at work. I just want to ring, text, and then take pictures of jobs. It's all I need to do. Don't need anything else.
You know what? Also, going back to like obviously Lauren's question there, do you remember the old way of texting where you had to like click the number like for B?
Yeah, I think we said it.
How exhausting would that be now? Obviously, you're on about you just brought a predictive text.
To be fair, I probably would want the 3310 to be able to just type normally.
Yeah.
Right. BlackBerry solid, where it was the keypad on the bottom of the phone.
Yeah.
Something like that.
What happened to BlackBerries? That was a thing. Remember the BlackBerry?
BlackBerry's still a phone. It's just that BBM, which was BlackBerry Messenger.
Yeah, but why did the phone die out? Why does no one have a BlackBerry now?
I think just because.
Because literally everyone had a BlackBerry.
Yeah, I think it's just because it's the hype of everyone wanting an iPhone or a Samsung.
That was such a good fucking phone as well.
I don't think I actually had
one. No, I had two or three. I really got them. The best one I ever had, mate, was like, I think it was a Samsung, like a really long, thin one, and you'd flick it. So it's like as you would flick like a pen knife.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember.
And he had like the tiny long screen. And oh, mate, that was fucking brilliant, that one.
Yeah, I had loads of them crappy.
I don't know what happened, what I did to it. I think I paid like 50 quid for it second hand from or whatever. And I just can't remember what I did
to it. It's mad, ain't it? Oh, fucking. I had loads. D900, fucking. Obviously, the 3310 back into that. I had a 3210 to start off with. The nostalgia.
The worst thing, though, when Sony Ericsson's had put the thing so everyone could listen to you, no, like have the speaker.
Yeah, the share.
Oh,
music
my and God, on the back of the buzz, and everyone's like, I get it, you're listening to music, put headphones in. But is that sort of thing? Do people still do that?
I don't know. I haven't been on it for years. But that's the modern version of that is people walking hands free on the phone. So having it on loudspeaker, walking, talking, just put it next to your ear. I know that was a hey, what's wrong with you a little while ago, but it's fucking, I still see it all the time. It's annoying.
You know what I see? Obviously, because it was someone speaking on loudspeaker in a 22 plate BMW, and in his other hand had a cigarette and he was driving with his knees.
I mean,
and then every now and again, he'd obviously hold the steering wheel with a cigarette hand, turn the wheel.
See, I'll steer with a knee sometimes if I'm like refilling my cup. If it's a long drive and I've got my flask and I'm refilling my cup with a bit of tea or coffee, whatever.
Yeah, so your mum had the cigarette, and then every time he fucking, you know, done it with his knees, then, mate. Well, look, just put the phone down, put it on Bluetooth. You've got a 22 play BMW.
See, now, I don't know if I've told this on the pod before, but back in the day before, even this band that I got at the moment doesn't have, well, it has Bluetooth. I just don't know the code to connect. But before hands-free in the cars and that was really a thing, I used to put my phone on loudspeaker and then wedge it on my shoulder. So in between the T-shirt, so the speaker part where, well, the microphone was near my mouth and then the speaker would be by my ear. So that would be my hands-free back in the day. Mm. I mean, these days, it's just the headphones. To to physically hold it and then still have it on loudspeaker, just put it next to your ear. Stop being a gobshite. Fucking people are just wrong ones. Yeah, whoever's texting you, Lauren, we've fucking shorthanded and just fucking individual letters.
Well,
just no need.
Mate, I have a feeling that this might come back in because I went out sat back and everyone was dressed up like it's the early 2000s. You're like NSYNC. So like, but let me tell you what
maybe
I saw. Yeah. Someone was wearing really baggy cargos, a black vest with a black short sleeve shirt with really thin sunglasses. The girls were wearing long denim skirts with vests and like those.
Wedgies.
They're not, but they're not like wedgies. They're like, I don't know what you'd call them, mate. They have the straps. But like, basically, they look like a Bratz doll. Do you remember like the Bratz dolls?
Yeah, that's the thing as well. Like, yeah. But I remember the 90s Bratz dolls.
So that's like what, when I went out, that's what everyone was wearing, that kind of style. So maybe it's coming back in.
When lads start wearing the black and flames t-shirts again, then we know that we're coming to the end of humanity. You know, like Guy Fieri, Dana's Divings and Drivings, whatever it was called. If you start wearing t-shirts like that again, fucking, I mean, not that I used to wear ones like that, but that starts coming back in again. We need to just take America's fucking stance and start shooting everyone on that. Fucking shooting up in the schools and shit. Speaking of shoot ups, fucking Trump bossed it, didn't they?
How close was he as well? Have you seen the 3D thing from the bird, like the animation that someone's done to how close it actually was? Have you seen that?
Because of his head movement. Because
he turned that last minute.
I know, I've seen so much stuff about it, to be fair. Because there was videos of like people in the crowd that were shouting, there's someone on the roof, he's got a gun or whatever. And that's like 2 minutes before it actually happens. So obviously like Secret Service and whatever, not doing their job, fuck you. Again, there's all the conspiracies. Conspiracy corner. Coming out about it, or that it was meant to happen. But still, to aim it just to get the ear, that's faith.
But I just literally, because he does turn his head a lot when he talks, doesn't he?
Yeah, because he addresses the crowd as a people person.
And like anyone else, that would have been a perfect shot because he just moved, nicked his ear. I love that thing, like many men.
There's like, so many of them. Fuck you. Did you see Hulk Hogan?
No, I've seen a little thing of it. I didn't watch the whole thing though. I just seen it.
So he's just there. I don't even know what he was giving a speech for, but he's just
Trumpomania.
Yeah, he's just fucking, and when they took a shot of my hero, that's when I had to give it for the Trump. Oh, and he's ripping off a vest and all that.
He's a real American.
Look, why is Trump Hogan's hero? Look, ain't they the same age?
Probably, yeah.
Well, because Trump's 78, I think.
So Hulk Hogan's probably, not far off.
I'd say he's,
I mean, Hulk Hogan's look old beast all the time, didn't he? Because the way he had it, like his hair, because he just let it go and kicked off.
Yeah, because even in the 90s, when WWE was what it was called, he was just fucking, I mean, he was about 50 then, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Mad. But yeah, he just fucking busted. The way he got back up as well, he's like fist pumping the air. Like, America!
America.
Fuck yeah. So, we're all about politics on this. The real talking, isn't it?
Versatile, mate.
Yeah, all the versatilities. So, on to Carl. And Carl has said, why do lorries have to get so close? Just back up.
Yeah, I think because obviously they don't give a fuck because they're in that big, the big wagon.
In the lorry.
But no, it's people calling wagons, because
For foreign.
What are we going about Arctics? Because there's different versions. That's what I'm saying. Is wagon, lorries, Arctics.
Well, so depending on the haulage of what they're carrying.
That's tall, mate. Fucking love it.
Seven tonners. Yeah. But yeah, I'll get this all the time.
Yeah, I think it's because they feel like they're indestructible because they're bigger, basically.
Yeah, and it's annoying because, like, they, in general, they can see over the vehicle that they're in front of. They think that they can react quick enough. But I see enough accidents where the fucking lorry's gone into the back of about four or five cars because they're too close and that. Now, I've got a bit of advice for Carl here. Because I have it all the time. Just slow down even more. Don't brake check them. Just ease the foot off the accelerator. And then just piss them up. Especially when it's the roadworks and you're already down to like two lanes or one lane. And they're right up your arse. Just slow down. Just let them know that you know that they're there. And you're willing to take the little bump. But yeah, I'll get it all the time, and it's so annoying, like, because you see them up each other's asses as well, not in a gay way, in a driving way. When two lorries are right there, it's like,
oh, mate,
when they can't see in front of the other one, like, just ease up.
The worst thing is when like an Arctic's trying to overtake an Arctic, just
lorry wars, any
let it go, lads. It's always downhill as well. The one with not hardly anything on the back wants something.
Wants to have it, kid. But yeah, I say too much of it. It's fucking. But, you know, they're not going to stop. Because my brother used to be a lorry driver as well. And I did say, I had this conversation. I was like, I bet you're one of these lorry wankers that just pulls out. No indicator, just pulls out. He says, yeah, fuck them. I was like, you're the problem.
That's it.
And I told him, he didn't care. Lorry driver.
That's it.
Now, Laura has come up with a fucking good one out.
Right.
Hope you're ready for this. Right. You might want to take a seat, mate, because this is going to sit you down if you aren't sitting.
Right.
Cheers says... Flying ants. Oh my God, what the actual fuck.
Yes. You know,
we had this the other day. It was flying ant day. I don't know why it's a thing. Why they all come out at the same time?
And then they go.
Yeah, they must have like a psychic link or something.
Something
like an intuition with the earth of like, I don't know, fucking alignment with the stars of when to come out at the same time. I was walking a dog the other day, but I didn't notice much while I was driving because in the morning they weren't out, and then on the way back home from work. But I'm just thinking I'm hitting normal bugs on the motorway and that. And it was while I was walking a dog, you notice how many people have got fucking ant nests underneath like, the drives and whatever. Because there were just hordes of them. And it was horrible. So I feel the pain there.
No, I get that because I can't remember. Was it last night? So Thursday, as the podcast goes out, but Thursday, we went out and loads of them, mate. But ain't seen them since. Didn't see them before. Where they gone?
Yeah.
Do you remember when like black ants and red ants used to fight when you're kids and you used to go and watch them?
Yeah,
fight.
Just little arms. The little
fucking flying ants giving it some as well, picking them up and dropping them and stuff like that.
And you think, like, did that actually hurt? I mean, it must do. That's what they do it like. But you think, like, since the. I think it's like 10 times their own body weight they can lift.
Yeah.
So you think if they're getting dropped from like a foot high, is that really going
to
hurt?
I just remember like on the island where we used to live, and I kid you not, there must have been half black ants on one side and the other side red ants. And like every year, like out the blue, it's that psychic link, like we're fucking having them this year. They'd all come out and there's one bit and converge like, I mean, I don't know how many there was. It seemed hundreds, if not thousands. Flying ants everywhere. See flying ants just dropping down from the fucking sky.
Mm-hmm.
Like, fucking.
Like a fucking scene from Braveheart or something, Kenny. Like,
every year.
You will never take an ant hill. Ah! Right. It's just horrendous. Look. Because, as you all know, I'm a hairy man. I've got the hair, I've got the beard. They ain't getting to the chest or anything, like, but still. I'm walking a dog. I'm fucking swatting them off the dog because they're like landing on him thinking, is comfort. Fucking. So I'm swatting them off him. He's thinking that I'm trying to play or something. So he kept fucking jumping up at me. I'd fucking get them landing on the glasses, jumping in the fucking, well, not jumping, flying into the beard. And I'm like, you know, when you're like freaking out, or yeah. Ace Ventura, they're in my hair, they're in my hair. I'm like, oh, they're in the beard, fucking. You know, like, you just start riffing at everything. Ah, oh, God, I don't see the need of it.
You know what? I haven't seen a red ant as well, actually, thinking about it, for years.
I can't say I'm looking out for them. Last year, the ants were getting into my house. No, not last year, the year before, sorry.
Was that a red ant?
No.
And what is the difference? Why are some red?
I don't know. Maybe some are stronger than the others.
Yeah.
I probably should have done a little bit of recon on this before reading this out. I mean, not that we'd have enough time.
But we didn't know where he was going to go, mate.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I didn't expect to be talking about football for fucking 40 minutes, but, you know, we're not a footballing podcast.
No.
But, yeah, there was ants coming into the house, so I found where they were coming from. Silicon the life out of the little hole, and then they didn't turn up again. But then a couple of weeks ago, they've managed to. So my front door, it doesn't, it shuts and it locks, but there's still just like a bit of a gap. So they were coming through that. So I had to get some of the little bait traps, put it there, and I've left it there as well. So as any new ones come, they can see their dead brethren, and know not to fucking. Fuck around.
I was going
to
say, obviously, all the flying ants was Thursday, which is obviously yesterday. But I've noticed that three neighbours have stuck all like, is it salt as well? Is it salt that people would stick out?
I think salt works.
Was it salt or sugar? Is it sugar? No, sugar's
the comfort of sugar.
Yeah, that's it. So whatever it is, three of the neighbours, obviously, because we had all the ants out here yesterday. Obviously, the neighbours done in 2 hours over there, like when they all come out.
Yeah.
They come out once a year.
And it's like boiling water in it as well. Like, why are you going to fucking like, kill them like that? Just, you know, just put a little fucking deterrent down. Like, you don't need to fucking mass murder. Did you ever used to see the videos? This was before TikTok was a thing. It was on YouTube. I used to fucking deep dive, as you used to do. There was a geezer that used to go around, melt a load of fucking, like, aluminium or fucking something and pour it into an ant's nest and then he'd dig it out.
No.
Mate, madness. If you haven't seen it, fucking look them up. Literally just like, YouTube fucking melted metal in ant nest and you'll see the videos. They were cool as fuck. Like, he'd dig it out and it'd just be, obviously, because you're seeing all of the structures because they'd be like little tunnels and then there'd be a big fucking thing. So kind of like a bonsai tree of sorts, the way you've got the individual branches and then a spurt of leaves. But some of them be like 6 foot deep or something. And like you think, how did he have enough like lead or aluminium, whatever it was, to pour into it in the first place? I mean, it was a shame for the ants because obviously it'd be an active nest and that's mass murder. You know, it doesn't matter what animal, human, creature, being that you are. It's mass murder. It's nasty. But, it looked fucking cool. I don't know if you like, sold it as art or something, but, yeah, if you haven't seen it, look. You'll go on a little fucking deep dive into it now. But have a look at them. There were fucking nice little videos to watch. You know, just short as well, only like 3 minutes long, because there's not much to fucking see. Just kill the ants.
Dig out.
Dig it, and then
show it.
Clean it. Like, ah, look at this one. Mad, ain't it? Yeah, they were nice. And on that mass murder, we are going to have to call it a pod there.
Mm.
Try and remind me about the caravan story next week.
Okay.
It was something I was going to talk about, but I say a lot of football chat today.
Right.
So remind me about the caravan story.
Mate, you're setting this caravan story up high now.
Yeah, it's high enough.
Okay.
Worthy enough to talk about, hence why I said, remind me about it.
I'm a versatile, so.
Yeah, we can't always talk about football. We've got to talk about fucking other life. Shit. Blind ants.
Proper podcast, mate.
Yeah, all the versatility. As always, links are.
No negativity.
Apart from James, when he talks about United, but you know, never mind about that. We ain't getting into that again.
Number one listener is.
We'll get into it in a couple of weeks when the Prem does about, I think, 14th or something of August.
I have no idea.
It's coming up. It's round the corner. A couple of weeks. We'll be there. Yeah, so as always, links are in the description. Send in your emails, your WhatsApps. I mean, there's fucking Twitter and all that, though. But links are always in the descriptions. Send them in, keep them coming. We've got to get back onto the dinner party as well, because there was a couple of them over the last couple of weeks, more suggestions on them.
Okay.
So, again, remind me to send you one that we can do for next week.
Right. And got it.
The listeners are on the edge of their seats waiting for next week now.
I can feel it.
Caravan, dinner party. Just like, fucking hell. Nah.
No football next week. Fucking hell, man.
And yeah, as always, Fox Sam Smith. Keep it real. We love yous. Peace.
Grab your headphones, get ready to groove. Ash and JD will make your mood improve. Banter that's witty, oh so sly. Their chemistry's electric, you can't deny.